Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Florida International University Professor Dr. Eileen Marty. And Dr. Marty, good morning to you. As you know, Pfizer's updated booster is available for anyone 12 and older, the Moderna for anyone 18 and older. What's the difference between the Moderna and the Pfizer? And do you recommend one over the other?
Not really. Actually, it's so interesting you asked that particular question because we were going over exactly that type of data yesterday in our, in a very long study that we've been doing comparing Moderna and Pfizer. And we have a group of these HIV individuals that we're testing. And it's really interesting to see that there's just not a significant difference between getting the one versus the other in terms of neutralizing antibodies. At first, we had detected a slightly better antibody retention with the Moderna, but that seems to be phasing out over time, and they're just equivalent.
According to the CDC, people are eligible if it's been at least 2 months since they got their last COVID shot, either a booster or an initial vaccine. But some vaccine experts say it would be better to wait at least 4 months. Do you agree with that?
So there's a lot of studies that have shown that the human immune system does best with an interval of about 3 to 4 months. The 2 month was the decision, as you know, by the FDA, and then the CDC endorsed it because that's generally okay. Right. But yes, it actually would be a little bit better if you gave it 3 months since your previous vaccine or booster.
I've also heard some medical folks say that people 60 and older are the ones who really need this booster as soon as possible. What do you say?
That's the population in which we're seeing, again, sort of the uptick among people who have severe disease. So if you look at the entire spectrum of what's going on with this disease right now, with COVID-19. Cases have been going down in the United States overall, and there is a lot of immunity out there. There's a lot of people who have some level of protection, but the people most likely to lose the good neutralizing antibodies sooner and end up with more severe disease are people who are more 60 and over. And so, yeah, they're the ones that you want to get it for. And let me go back to the other question just a few seconds. The 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. So there's a difference between optimal response from taking the vaccine and being ready for what's circulating and what you're doing. And so that's part of the rationale for doing the 2 months. We're heading towards the time frame now where we, as we've seen in the last couple of years, we get a dip around this time and then it goes up in the fall. And so what the government is trying to do is sort of get that sweet spot of getting the most amount of people with the most amount of protection when the next uptick might happen so that it does not happen, so that we keep it at a low level and a manageable level of cases.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are trying to time this maybe for holiday travel, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. But remember, you also want to have that protection in place before you actually travel. You certainly don't want to take your vaccine, the day before you go on your trip.
And if you've had a recent COVID infection, should you wait before getting this new booster?
Well, if you had a recent COVID infection and you are doing well now, right, you want to consider that as if that was another booster. You want to give it the 2 to 3 months.
Oh, okay.
So that you also get the best bang for your buck.
And are most of the medical experts like you thinking that we are going to get a surge come winter?
Well, the current hope is that we get more people vaccinated with this new version that's more, you know, that's the bivalent, that's more effective against what's circulating now, and that we don't get a significant rise. But none of us has a crystal ball, and there is a heck of a lot more immunity out there. But there's always the wild card, Bob. We don't know if there's going to be some new radically different variant that's going to have a significant impact. What we do know is that during the fall and winter, people are indoors more and there's more opportunity. And so it makes sense, and we see it with flu and other respiratory viruses, that these infections go up, and if we can get as much immunity as possible against the new variants that are circulating before it happens, it should avoid a huge problem.
We've heard a lot about people getting COVID on the rebound. Are folks more contagious who have what you might call rebound COVID? Or is it the same?
No, it's when I look at the CT values for people who do get rebound, it's not, you know, we're not going all the way to where they were from where they started. They just are still positive. So, you know, their viral loads are not significantly higher. In fact, they are handling it. It's just that that particular individual that gets a rebound got a rebound because while they were taking a medication that was bringing down the viral load, they didn't quite make all the best possible antibodies to prevent the rebound. But their bodies are still doing what is necessary so that ultimately they'll get rid of it.
Well, knock on wood, and I'm knocking on my head right now. I haven't had it. I don't think so. And if you'd like to study me, if you want me to come down to the lab there, Dr. Marty, because I know you're trying to figure out why some people have escaped. Seems like everybody has it except the minority. So I'm available for research.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. I'll keep that in mind.
The least I can do to give myself up for science. Thank you very much, Dr. Marty. We'll talk to you next week.